You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Be repeated over and over in my heart is the word recalibrate. It has a lot to do with disruption. Disruption is never fun. Change is never easy. But I know this. I know that unless there is a disruption or a change, there are things that we depend on, there are things that we lean on that aren't of Jesus. And many times we don't even know what we're leaning on. We don't even know that we depend that much on something around us, whether it's a paycheck or whether it's a roof over our head or all those things that, we find security in. And I think one of the things that we want to embrace here this evening in all of our lives and our families especially is what are those things I depend on that are not Jesus Christ in my life? What are those things that I rely on that are really not about him? I've just learned to rely on those things. I depend on those things. And so what God's up to and what we see happening is that just that recalibrating. It's happening in community. It's happening in churches. It's happening everywhere. But we want to follow the way that the Holy Spirit is leading us. I was just thinking the other day, you know, there are times when I'm getting God's word, and maybe you've experienced this as well, and you're just kind of digging around, you're studying hard, and you mine up some just really gold nuggets. There's some jewels that maybe you had never seen before, but wow, you're just going, wow, this is really good stuff. And then there are times that you're not mining, you're not even looking, you're not really digging, and what happens is God shows up and he shows you something. Well, that happened to me the other day, and it happened to me in regards to what we are going to do right here this evening. I realized that when I was looking at the last book of the Old Testament, the minor prophet Malachi, Malachi actually speaks to people. He's speaking to the nation of Israel, and he's saying, return, return to God, return to God, return to God. He repeats that phrase over, I think 30 times. The phrase is return to God, return to God. And what he does is he breaks it down. And what I found so interesting is it's actually the path that you've been on, this church has been on, for the last 2 months. The sequences are identical. Because what he does in the first chapter, he's saying, return to God in your faith. That's where we have to go first. And what we've been able to see is a resurgence. We've seen some things happen here where there's been a resurgence of faith. We've seen 19 people baptized, several people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. There seems to be a revival of sorts going on in our recovery community right over here. Just in the last couple weeks, just the NA group, the Narcotics Anonymous, with Kevin Logan as their pastor, I think there have been about 150 people that have shown up on Tuesday and Friday night put together. That's a substantial amount of people, yeah. That's pretty incredible. And that doesn't include the other many recovery groups that are going on right now. They're all over the campus. There's some on the campus right now as we speak. What's happening is there's God stirring up stuff. A gentleman walked in here the church the day we were doing water baptism, and he received Jesus, and he was one of the guys baptized. And he was from one of our recovery groups, and man, he went in to get into a sober home. And isn't that incredible how God wants to move people like that? It's just amazing. So there's something happening in the Spirit. There's something that God's doing to build up your faith, to encourage your faith. Wherever that might be, in your home, your small group, we want to see that in our families. I know Annette and I have been able to witness that in our own homes right now, just that returning to God in faith. What are the things that really, really matter? Jesus is the main thing. And then in chapter 2 of Malachi, Malachi says, return to God in our families. And that's really what we've been doing for the last 6 or 8 weeks. We've been talking about returning to what is fundamental in our homes and our families. And I hope that you have picked up from my heart, from Annette's heart, that this is something that is incredibly, it is the most important thing to us right now. That we're looking at this saying, we have to make sure that we're returning to God in our families. And listen, nobody is too late for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I know some of us are looking at our adult kids and we're going, oh my gosh, what's going on in their lives? Listen, there is a call. The Holy Spirit is stirring in their life. You might not see it, but there's a call to return to Him right now. There's a call. What you've invested, let me encourage you, what you invested when they were children in Sunday school or wherever they were, and even if you didn't do that, God's still faithful, and you're praying for them now. Maybe you didn't grow up in Sunday school, you didn't grow up in church, but man, you have such a heart to pray for your adult kids, your kids right now. Please keep doing that, because what's happening is God's calling them to return to faith in Jesus Christ. And we're hearing this happen. We're hearing these stories around that people are returning to faith in Jesus Christ, that were prodigals, prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. There's a returning of faith. And that's what we want to keep talking about, is we want to keep saying, Lord, do this work in our families. And we're going to practice this in just a little bit together. We're going to practice the consecration of that in this place. That's what we really want to see happen. And then chapter 3. Of Malachi, what he says is, he says, return to God and your finances. See, he doesn't separate finances from worship. He says, you need to return to God in your finances. And what we're going to do for the next 2 weeks, the next two Sundays, is we're going to talk about returning to God in our finances. So you see what's happening, the pattern here? And it was just like remarkable for me to read this and think, oh, that's the track we're on. That's the path God set us on. He's doing these things in our life, in our community. And chapter 4 is this: God returns to you. There's something that happens, a revitalization of God's Holy Spirit in your personal walk with Him, in your family, in your church. And then once that's stated in Malachi chapter 4, there's 400 years of silence. We know things went on, but it's not written about. And guess how God returns to us? In the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. He becomes flesh for us. That's amazing. There's something happening that He's getting us ready for this day and for even the second coming. I know I've been more sensitive and aware of that. So tonight is about family. It's about what God is speaking to us. There's a scripture that Annette and I have taken hold of. We shared it with you. But it comes from one of Malachi's contemporaries. And this is what was remarkable. I wasn't looking at Malachi to think of Nehemiah. I was not looking at Nehemiah thinking about Malachi, but then I put them together and I thought, oh, they were contemporaries. They were saying the same thing at the same time. And it's found in Nehemiah chapter 4, 14. Write this down and maybe even take this passage of scripture with you in your homes. Maybe put it on your refrigerator. Put it somewhere where you can see it every day. But this is what it says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. It says, after I looked things over, that's Nehemiah speaking, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them, speaking of the enemies. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. And here it is. Fight for your families, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your homes. And I say amen to that. There's something that God's raising up in you and wants to continue to raise up in you, is just this holy, almost indignation that comes against anything that defiles your family, anything that defiles your marriage, anything that defiles your children, that you would say, Lord, we're going to stand against that, and we're going to stand on the ground that you've given us. We're going to stand firmly in your word, and we're going to have the courage to speak up. We're going to have the courage to speak against those things, even things that appear to be norms in our youth, in our young adults, in our families, and God points those things out, and we want to say, no, we need to stand up against this. These are things that are decaying and bringing decay to our families and our homes. And I'm going to tell you one of the areas, and I just want to say this, because it's been something that has been going on for quite a while. While we've prayed for our families, while I've prayed for your children, your children's children, one of the areas that I've really spent a lot of time and even taken some time and fasted, and that's over our boys right now. I'm just telling you, this is where I'm landing. Girls, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, I pray for you, but somehow God has said, I want you to pray for the boys. Pray for boys right now. And one of the reasons I know that's happening is there is a boy crisis going on. And I'm being very specific with you right now. That there's something happening that the enemy wants to rob both our boys and our girls from their biblical identity, who God has made them to be in the image of God, Imago Dei. And he's going in and he's stealing things from them. He's supplanting lies in their hearts and their minds that are contrary to God's word and who they are. And the loudest voices speaking into this are the voices out there, when it should be what we're seeing in God's word and what God's wanting us to gain from that. And I'm just praying, listen, this is what I'm praying for. It's almost like you can't even say it anymore. But I'm praying for a godly, holy masculinity to return to our boys and our men. That's what I'm praying for. It has just been there. It has been there. And if you want evidence, you don't have to go very far of how the enemy is really robbing and ravaging some of our boys right now, our young men right now. They are in a time of crisis. In fact, what they're looking at and what they only know in a lot of ways is a toxicity of masculinity. And I'm praying against that, that there would be a purity that would come, that there would be an identity that if it's left them, that it would return, or whatever remnant might be there of godliness, that it would grow in them. Can you believe that with me? Just believe that. Because there's a health that God, I know, wants to restore. And so I'm going to say this. There are times where I'll cross paths with your boys in church or wherever. And you know when I put my hand on their head? It looks kind of like I'm just putting my hand on their head. I'm praying in Jesus' name that God gives them that godly masculinity, that they actually know who they are in Jesus Christ. We need a resurgence. We need a revival in these areas. That's one of those areas that I'm praying for right now, because I can tell you what has been diminishing over the years. There's been a diminishing number of individuals who are saying, God has called me to serve him. We can see it. It's dropped. And I'm just praying for a restoration there. Mom and dads, grandmas and grandpas, by the way, you're the gatekeepers of what God wants to do in your children and your grandchildren. And that you're in a place of influence where you can influence the call of God on our young people. And I'm going to ask that you contend for that this evening. This is what this is about. It's about standing up and fighting for your families, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your homes. And that what we say is, God, would you restore this? We call upon you. Would you restore this? I want to do this right now. I just want dads and grandpas, just stand up with me. We're going to stand up together. Dads and grandpas, just stand up right now. We're going to do this because I think we just need to take care of some business right now. Moms, grandmas, I'm not wanting to leave you out of this because I know how much you are, how much you bring to the prayer game and to the prayer strategy. Please keep doing that. Keep praying. Keep doing that. But I just want us right now as men in this place to pray over our young men. And that God would even restore our masculinity, godly masculinity. Because I know that can get eroded. And there's a crisis right now, not knowing about direction. What do I do? And am I saying or doing the right things? You know, those are things I think that young men are struggling with right now. And I don't mean to simplify it. I don't mean to generalize anything. I want to be very specific. And I want to pray for godly masculinity to be instilled, Holy Spirit instilled, into us and into our boys. Can we just say amen to that right now? Ladies, while you're there, you just reach out and you contend for this. And I'm just wanting to contend for it right now in Jesus' name. Father, you see the men and the grandpas that are standing here today, and we just ask in Jesus' name that you would restore our covering, that you would restore our voice and our influence, if that's been lost, to speak into the lives of our grandsons and our sons in Jesus' name, and that we would speak good things of encouragement, biblical things, Holy Spirit-empowered things that would cause our young men to be restored in Jesus' name. And for those young men, Lord, we pray that you would give them a spiritual compass that points them to you. And we ask in Jesus' name that you would restore the courage to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to serve him, Lord Jesus, to walk hard after him, to follow him. And Lord, that these young men would be lights in the community, that they would come alongside of others. And this would be like a fire that would just spread through this community, through this nation, through this world, that there would be these young boys that would raise up and they would just begin to prophesy. They would begin to speak things of you, and there would be salvation that would come, healing that would come. We just pray this over our men. As men who stand in this place, we say that we are fighting for our families, for our sons, for our daughters, for our wives, and for our homes. Lord, consecrate us in that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah, just hold on to that. Yeah. That God really wants to accomplish something there. And I'm just asking you just to hold on to that and be bold. Be bold about what God wants to do in your life and what he wants to do in our kids. So continue to encourage the call of God. One of the things that has been, and Annette and I have noticed this, has been a little discouraging. We hear and see kids that are called of the Lord, and sometimes their parents want to see them go down another avenue, but that is the most important thing. Whatever they do, they need to be planted in the Word. They need to be called by God. And let's encourage the call of God. Whatever vocation that takes, however that manifests itself in a vocation or profession, they need to know they're anchored in Jesus Christ. They're not anchored in a profession. Please understand me. Their anchor is not education. That isn't. That is not their anchor. Their anchor is Jesus Christ. And when that is their anchor, then other things happen. They flourish. They flourish and they abound. So please continue to speak into the call of God in their lives and our families. Parents, here it is. Trust God with your children. I know that's so difficult. We see the evidence of not trusting God with our kids because we're farming them out to other places, and we're hoping that maybe the athletic venues would do that, or a profession would do that. That's not where that happens. We need to trust our kids into God's hands and say, God, this is the first place I bring them. I think of Hannah trusting her son, Samuel, into the Lord's hands to serve him. We need to come to that place where we trust. And then children, young people, it's trusting God with your future. Man, it's trusting God with your future. That's tough to do. I know that's tough to do. But it's being able to say, God, I'm going to trust you with my future. I have an idea maybe or a thought about what that looks like. But Lord, I want to trust you with my future. And we agree on that we turn our future over to him. We say, here it is, Lord. Lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. Can I say this? It's no different. This hasn't been any different through the ages. This hasn't been any different in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the local church today. This is the process. It's trusting him. That's the process. So there's nothing here new under the sun. We're just saying we want to be re-engaged in that process, and we want to be steely-eyed and focused, spiritually focused on this today, and we are focused on our sons and our daughters and our families and our homes in Jesus' name. So we're going to pray that way. So here's what I'm going to want to do. I'm not talking a lot right now. I just want to stop that, and I'm just going to invite our worship team to come back up. Here's what I really feel like how we want to process here is Becky, can you get over here, you ladies? Come right over here because I want you right here. Just come right. You're going to be praying for people right over here. So yeah, get up, be bold here. And here's what I want you to do. In just a minute, we're going to have our grandparents. I want these ladies just to lay hands on you. Becky's one of the greatest grandparents on the planet. And she actually probably has led half a Canby to the Lord. So that's why I want you to. So if you're a grandparent, you're looking at your grandkids and you wanna influence them in the way of Jesus Christ, just in a minute when we start to pray, you just come right up here. Annette, can you get them some oil? There's some oil right there on the seats. I put it right there. Can you get them some oil? And we want that. I really want that to happen. Ken and Viv, you can come over here too. Would you come over here and stand up? And there's another grandparent line that you can go to right there. So I want you guys to be able to do that. Okay. Jenny and Mark, would you come on up here too? I'm calling you guys out. I just want you to, I know I'm surprising people right now. I want them to pray over your families and your marriage. Pray over your kids. Let them pray over your kids. They've raised kids in the house of the Lord. And it's not, boy, I tell you, it's not without struggles. I know that. And it's never perfect. But we want to agree together in doing this in Jesus' name. And we want to see the Lord just really do. Rob and Patty, would you come over here and pray for parents too? So you guys know where you're going here. Some of you guys I can't see because the light's right in my eyes. So I'm trying to see the best I can right now. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to worship the Lord. And what I know Annette and I would love to do is we just want to anoint every one of you that you just get, and then go and get prayed for. But ours isn't going to be necessarily a praying line, but ours is going to be a passing on line, that when we anoint you, what we're doing is we're saying we're consecrating you to be the family that God has called you to be the parents and the grandparents that God has called you to be, and that God would do a wonderful work. Here's what I believe. I just think the act of obedience breaks a lot of chains. And you might even be thinking, I don't even know what to ask for. It's all right. Sometimes I don't. I just know that when I put one foot in front of the other, things happen. That's what I know. And God is always faithful. He is absolutely always faithful. And I'm gonna finish with this. This is my mom and dad used to put us in places where we would be influenced by godly leaders. Isn't that amazing? That's all they did. They just put us in the proximity of. And then they let the Holy Spirit kind of mix up the mojo there. Annette and I have been committed when we're raising our kids and now raising or helping raise our grandkids. We're committed to the same thing. It is an influence that is in this place. There's other places where you can get your kids in proximity of godly leaders. Not perfect, but godly leaders. And there's some amazing things that happen. I met some of the most influential people in my life just because my folks got me in the same room with a missionary from Argentina named Jack Sisler. Profoundly changed my life. Got me in the same room with a man named Ralph Mahoney, who I served at World Map for another 3 or 4 years as their youth pastor, would get us in the same room and then let the Holy Spirit take over. That's what's happening tonight. You're just in the same room, and there's an exchange that happens, a Holy Spirit exchange happens. There was one time we had gone to a Foursquare event. We're getting ready to walk in the doors, and my oldest son looked at his mom and I and said, "Could you introduce me to Jack Hayford?" And I thought, yeah, if he's there. And Jack Hayford, if you don't know, he's just a godly man, just a great guy. And walked in, and I walked up to get a drink of water, and he walked right there. And he goes, "Hey, Ron." I go, "Hi, Pastor Jack." I said, "Hey, listen, my oldest son would love to meet you." Before I even got that out of my mouth, he said, "Where is he? Where is he? Where is he?" And I said, "He's right over there at a table with my family." He was gone. I was chopped liver after that. He just left. And he went over and he just stood with my kids and he just talked to them for 15 minutes or so, just mixed it up. I don't know all the spiritual things that happened there, but I know something happened. Folks, that's why we do what we do. We can't plan all this. You don't even know all the results that this happens. It's faithfulness and obedience that makes this take place. So that's the way we're going to pray. So we're going to worship. You get out of your seat. We'll anoint you with oil here, and you just go get prayed for. Is there other prayer groups? If there are other people that I can't, we're going to keep praying, all right? So Annette, come on up here, and we're going to do this. Father, we just pray in Jesus' name that you put together the Holy Spirit formula of this evening. We don't even know altogether the fruitfulness that'll come out of this. We trust there will be, but it's just being in proximity of your Spirit and other people that you make things happen. Lord, there's significant eternal things that happen when your people are gathered together, they lean into you, and they call on your name. And that's what we're doing here. It's just very simple. That is exactly what we're doing. So, Lord, what we do in this place is we anoint with oil. And what we do is we just pass on a mantle of being a mom and dad, of raising a family. Lord, I pray for our kids in Jesus' name. For those kids that are in this room, God, if you're calling them right now, make it even clearer to them. I mean, just, Lord, stand up in their heart and let them know how valued they are, how loved they are, how vital they are to the ongoing efforts of your kingdom. Lord, we just pray over that generation in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the generations that are coming up. I just ask in Jesus' name that you would ignite them with a Holy Spirit fire that would be the utmost, preeminent in their life. Not the other things. I know education's important. I know a job's important. I know all those things are important, but not as important as the fire of God alive in their life, the call of God that sets upon them. And so, Lord, we just pray the Holy Spirit fire rest on our kids. We pray that there was something that would rise up in our kids, in our families, in our grandkids. We just ask that to happen. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everyone go ahead and stand up. We're going to just start making a move here. You know, some of the best moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas that I know on this planet are people who haven't necessarily had biological kids, but they are incredible moms, spiritual dads, spiritual grandparents. And so for those that might fit there, understand this is including. This is about all of us. And that you have an influence and that God has called you. And he's given you a task. He's given you an assignment. You're never an appendage to anything. You're central to the call and the body of Christ. You're central to that. So please hold on to that and remember that. I want to affirm that in Jesus' name. I really do. I want to affirm that in you. And so what I want to do right now is I'm just going to... Do you have another song we're going to sing?
Yeah, at the end.
Okay, well, that's what we're going to... I'm going to pray right now and you go ahead and we're going to sing a closing song. What is that closing song?
Oh, great.
Oh, that's a good one. All right. So do this. Join hands really quick here. Do you see what... Thank you for your faithfulness, your obedience. You just really responded. And I know this. I know that when we respond, there's some things that happen that can't happen otherwise. Man, this is, you know, this is about our heart, certainly. But it's also about our feet. And it brings us to places. We've got to go to those places. So be charged to go to your kids. Be charged to go to your families. Annette and I are committing. We continue to contend. And we're fighting for our children. And we're fighting for our grandchildren. We're fighting for our families. And we want you to know we're going to continue to do that. And we know God is faithful. He's up to something. He's stirring things up. There really is something happening. And we want to pay attention to that and say, Lord, we want to follow you all the days of our life. Father, I just thank you for the anointing that rests upon your people. Lord, I just pray for moms and dads that might even have a sense of shame because of what they've done as parents. Lord, those regrets, we all have those. We ask in Jesus' name that those things would be removed and that you would resolve those issues in our heart and that you would bring the confidence of your Holy Spirit about us in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, that you're the great Redeemer. You mend. Lord Jesus, it doesn't take but a moment for you to restore something that's been broken in our lives for years. And so we ask that you would just breathe on us. Just breathe a breath of life upon us. Lord, I ask for families right now in Jesus' name. I just ask that there would be continued restoration. There would be the spirit of forgiveness that would just flow through a family. Lord, that spirit of forgiveness just lubricates the Holy Spirit's move in families' lives. So we ask in Jesus' name for that right now. Lord, I pray a blessing would rest upon us today, that we would walk away and know, man, we've been with the Lord and we are better off. And our families are better off. Let us be light in a dark place. Lord, just let us focus and see disruptions around us as opportunities for your Holy Spirit to use us. We see that. We claim that. We hold on to that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this together.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you.
You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.